This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, William Shakespeare once wrote, "What is in a name? For a rose by any other name would still smell just as sweet." And in one aspect, what Shakespeare wrote makes complete sense. We would still view a rose as a sign of love and romance, regardless if it was called a rose or not. But another aspect, Shakespeare is completely wrong, because a name matters. A name means everything. Ask any couple before they gave birth to their child, and they will tell you that they put a lot of thought into what they would name their child. A name means everything because it carries a reputation behind it. For instance, 150 years ago, the name Adolf was not an uncommon name for the German people. But nowadays, no one names their child Adolf because of the reputation of Adolf Hitler. A name means everything because it has a connotation behind it. It carries a lot of weight behind it. For instance, think of the name that you call me. You call me Pastor. Even though that's not my name, it's my title. And yet I can't tell you how many times while talking to people, and eventually I tell them I'm a pastor, you can see the face completely change. As if they're shocked that they're talking with a man of God. And yet nothing has changed about me. But that's the connotation, the weight behind the name of a pastor. A name means everything. And today we focus on the name that is above every other name. And that name is Jesus. Do you remember what the name Jesus means? Do you remember why Mary and Joseph gave him the name Jesus? It's because the angel appeared to them and told them to name him Jesus because he would be the one who would save his people. That's literally what the name Jesus means. It means the one who saves. Jesus is the one who has saved us because he died and rose for our salvation. But Jesus was also the one who saved his people from their various problems by performing miracles for them. And here, in this account from the book of Acts, we see a man healed in the name of Jesus. So let me paint to you the picture. Peter and John were traveling to the temple, and as they entered through one of the gates, they saw a paralyzed man begging for people to have pity on him. This was not uncommon because the gates of the temple were the most traveled, so people would sit there hoping that they would receive money or food. So Peter and John walk up to this paralyzed man, and the man thought that they would give him money. But instead Peter said to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Immediately, this man stood up and walked around. In fact, he didn't just walk around, he ran around praising and thanking God that he had been healed. Now, you would think that no one would have a problem that Peter and John had healed this man. But the rulers and the chief priests were upset at Peter and John for what they had done. Why? Peter tells us why. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. You see, the rulers and the chief priests were not upset at Peter and John because they healed this paralyzed man. Rather, they are upset because Peter and John healed this paralyzed man in the name of Jesus. They hated the very name of Jesus. They despised it. They rejected the name of Jesus. But why? Why do they have all this hatred against Jesus and his name? It's because of the reputation of Jesus and what he said. Jesus said that he was the Christ. Remember that Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title. The Christ means the anointed one of God, the one chosen by God to save his people. And so the rulers and the chief priests had their own ideas of what the Christ would be like. They thought that the Christ would approve of them because they were the physical descendants of Abraham. They thought that the Christ would approve of all of their laws and their teachings. They thought that the Christ would be honored by them because of what they did for God and how they lived their lives. But then Jesus took everything they taught, everything they believed, everything they held in high regard, and he turned it on its head. Jesus said, "You think you are saved because of the name of Abraham and you are his descendants? I tell you the truth. You are not saved. Because only those who believe like Abraham are truly his descendants." Jesus said to them, "You think you are saved because you follow all of your laws? I tell you the truth, your laws don't come from God, they come from the devil. And you are burdening the souls of people because of your teachings." Jesus said to them, "You think that you are honoring God by what you do. But you may honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from him and you do not belong to him." This is why the rulers and the chief priests hate the very name of Jesus. They despised him. And when they saw how the people were beginning to follow Jesus, to believe in him and to listen to his teachings, they came up with a plan to kill him. Because they viewed Jesus as a threat to their name, their reputation, and their power. And Peter doesn't hold anything back against them. Because he says, "You are the ones who crucified Christ." And think of that name for a second. Christ crucified. Nowadays, you and I have no problem thinking about Christ who was crucified on the cross. We look at the cross as a symbol of God's love, as a symbol of God's salvation and the forgiveness that he gives to us. But the people back then would not have viewed the cross in that way. Scripture says that the message of Christ crucified is foolishness to the Gentiles and a stumbling block to the Jews. Why is the message of Christ crucified foolishness to the Gentiles? It's because only the worst of the worst of people would die on the cross. Imagine if I was trying to reach out to you and told you that you have a Savior who is a criminal on death row and died by the electrical chair or lethal injection. Would you believe it? No, you wouldn't, because it's foolish to think that a criminal can be your Savior. And the message of Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews. Why? It's because there is a passage in the law that says if anyone dies on a tree, he is cursed and condemned by God. And so the Jewish people can say, "How can Jesus be your Savior when he is cursed and condemned by God by his death on the cross?" This is why they had no problem mocking Jesus at his crucifixion by saying, "Well, if God loves him, Let him bring him down, for he cannot condemn someone that he loves. So this is why the rulers and the chief priests hate the very name of Jesus, that they despise it and they reject it. And for us who believe in Jesus and trust in him, we can find all of this hostility to be strange. We can wonder, why would they hate Jesus so much that they would plot to have him crucified? But we can easily forget the name that we were given at our birth. And it's not the name that your parents gave you. It's the name that Scripture gives you. That name is sinner. By nature, your name is the one who hates God and despises him. By nature, your name is the one who is hostile to God and cannot submit to his will. By nature, your name is an enemy of God and an object of his wrath. And what Peter said to the chief priests and the rulers, he says to you as well, that because of your sin, your hatred, your disobedience, your hostility to God, you crucified Christ. You crucified Christ. When you have miserably failed to obey God's commandments and you disobey him, you murdered the very Son of God because you rejoiced and smiled to break his will. You killed the one who gives life, that you may honor God with your lips, but your hearts can be far from him as well. That when we ask God to forgive us and we repent of our sins, deep down there can be those times that we have absolutely no desire to turn away from our sins whatsoever. And so we cheapen God's grace. We view his grace as a license to commit more and more sin. And so as one of our Lenten hymns says, if you think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here you see its nature rightly. Here its guilt you may estimate. For you sentence God to be crucified. You didn't care. You felt no remorse. You didn't shed a single tear. You rejoiced so that you could sin. And therefore, the name that God should give us is the one who is cursed and condemned by God. But that is not the name that God wants to give to you. Rather, that's the name that God gave to Jesus. Not because he sinned, not because he hated God, not because of disobedience, not because of hostility, but because the name of every sinner and the name of every sin we have committed was placed upon Christ, who was cursed for us. And why was he cursed and condemned? Scripture says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Since Christ was cursed for you, you are now redeemed. When Christ declared from the cross, "It is finished," your name went from being a sinner to being a saint. You receive this salvation through faith at the waters of your baptism, where you were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there your name went from being an enemy of God to being a cherished child of God. At the end of the service, when you receive the Lord's blessing, he places his name upon you. And so your name changes from the one who hates God to the one who is loved by God and the one who loves God. And as you go out with the name of Christ upon you, for you are a Christian, your name goes from the one who desires to disobey to the one who desires to serve God. Salvation is found in Jesus' name. And that's the last thing that Peter said here. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And think of how comforting it is that Peter said salvation is found in the name of Jesus. Imagine if he said salvation is found in Jesus' name, but also in your name. Then we would always be wondering, am I saved? Does God forgive me? Does He still love me? But salvation is found in the name of Jesus and in the name of Jesus alone. We simply rest upon Him and put our trust in Him for our salvation. And that's what we did at the very beginning of this service, that we confess to God that we are by nature sinful and we have sinned against Him. And John told us in his letter this morning that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this is why that I, in the name of Christ and as His called servant, could proclaim to you that you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is found in Jesus' name. And remember what His name means. His name means the one who saves. And He has saved us by His death and His resurrection. And now, since the name of Christ has been placed upon us, we carry His reputation. For God finds us holy and perfect and precious in His sight. And as we go out, we have the connotation of Christ's name. For we are Christians who live and serve Him. This is salvation that we have in Jesus' name. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.